Holger, what is WEC? What does that stand for?
WEC stands for the Wildlife Habitat Effectiveness and Connectivity Program. So that's a program that looks into habitat along the Athabasca River in the oil sands, in the Alberta oil sands, and looks at how intact it is, how animals can travel through the oil sands and how they can survive there.
And how large is the study area?
The study area is about 50 by 100 kilometers north of Fort McMurray, so pretty much encompassing every active mine site in that area right now.
And what is the habitat or the landscape like?
It's boreal forest, so a very jungle-like, moist, rugged habitat.
Today at the CONRAD Symposium, you described a couple of the programs that you're working on, one dealing with cameras and another one dealing with tracking moose. What exactly are you trying to do there with these two projects?
Well, overall, we're trying to find out how animals, in particular moose in the one project, are dealing with the oil sands development in the area. Are they avoiding the area? Are they feeling at home there still? Have they maybe changed their behavior, their movement patterns? And in particular, are they using the river valleys? So the Athabasca River goes straight through the oil sands development area. And it's been said or known before that that river could be very important to animals in the area. And we're trying to find out whether that's true or not and how that has or is changing right now.
Well, let's look what you've done with cameras first. What exactly did you do? Where did you put the cameras?
We're using remote cameras, so those are cameras that are triggered by motion and temperature, actually. It's a combination of motion and temperature. And we're putting those cameras along the rivers in the oil sands area, so there's five different rivers we put those cameras on. Each camera is set about anywhere between 100 and 500 meters away from shore. They are being deployed for about 2 weeks and snap pictures of just about any wildlife that walks by and is big enough to trigger the camera.
Well, you've had a number of challenges that you've had to deal with in the two seasons that you've been out there. What are some of those challenges?
Well, particularly 2011, we had a combination of fire and water that made life difficult for us. First, there was a major, I believe the biggest wildfire in Alberta to date that went through the area that burned a handful of our cameras. And then after we moved what was left of those cameras to another area, we actually lost just another handful to a flood.
And both of those were control areas for you, weren't they?
Those were, yes, absolutely. Even though the flood problem we actually had everywhere, it was, weirdly enough, after the fire, it was a very moist year, so we had high waters just about anywhere.
And how about getting around? Do you have to actually go out on the rivers in canoe?
Yes, exactly. That's what we do. We use canoes mostly on the smaller rivers and a powerboat on the Athabasca River itself. Given that we work along the watersheds, everything we do is boat-based pretty much.
So how many pictures did you end up with?
Over the 2 years, we have close to 80,000 pictures right now, which is a lot of pictures when you have to sit down and look at each and every single one of them to find out if there's actually an animal on that picture or if the camera has just been triggered by some wind.
With the pictures that you're going through, what kind of information do you gather from that?
The pictures give us, obviously, the species. So we can see, is there a picture of a moose, a deer, wolf, bear, or whatever else in the area. So we're using that as an indication of what the species composition is in the area. And then we try to identify individuals on those pictures by applying certain rules. And so the sum of pictures then gives us an idea of how many animals of each species do frequent the area.
So now that you've tallied it all up, who's actually going through there? Do you have more of one species than another?
Our top species at the moment are white-tailed deer, followed by moose and black bears in that area. And then all other species we've been taking pictures of are pretty much minuscule compared to those three.
And are you able to draw any conclusions about what animals are using? Are they using the corridors, or does it make any difference if they're near any of the development?
It's quite interesting, actually. It seems like the moose, deer, and bear, like all the three big species we've been looking at so far, are not avoiding the mine sites by any means. They seem to be, in the contrary, and this is very preliminary only at this point. But from what we see so far, some of those animals are actually more abundant in areas with active mining than elsewhere right now.
Are there any animals that do avoid the area?
It's a little early to say that. The problem is that the animals that I think could be avoiding the area right now, I don't have enough pictures of to actually draw that conclusion. So I can't really answer that.
I'm curious about the number of deer that are in the area. They're by far your number one species. Is that an indication of deer moving into the area? I know there's a lot of concern about access and white-tailed deer actually moving into areas where they weren't before historically.
Yeah, that's very true and a very good question. And unfortunately, given that we're only in year two of this project, and there's really only been minor work in that area on this before, I can tell you there's a lot of deer, but I cannot tell you whether there was less deer beforehand. I have a hunch that might be true, but I can't really confirm that.
And does it make any difference in terms of what the land is like?
Yes, it seems like from, again, very preliminary work, we find that animals seem to be preferring more moist habitats. So as I said in my talk, the wetter the better, it seems like right now.
Well, why is that? Any ideas?
I have a hunch. Once again, I cannot base that on scientific proof, but I think given that the high moisture content of the area is actually one of the signs of the boreal forest, it just seems to be the more original boreal habitat, so lusher, moister habitat with more forage, which is why animals would prefer being there.
Well, the second part of the project is actually collaring moose and following them around. What actually have you done?
2 years ago, we radio collared 50 moose in the area. We deployed 25 GPS collars, which are collars that link up to space, to the satellite in space, and 25 VHF collars, which are collars that give us a beep and let us know where the animal is at any given time. And we're tracking those animals and have been tracking them for the last 2.5 years, and to see where they move, what habitat they prefer, and how they're surviving overall.
So what have you found?
We have found that moose in that particular area actually move amazingly less. They have very small home ranges, home range being the total area an animal actually uses in a year or any given period of time. And compared to other research done in Northern America, we are at the bottom when it comes to overall habitat or home range size animals those moose use.
Could you give me an example? Because you did show a chart in your talk, and I was amazed at the range of how far they can move if they have to.
Well, our moose so far, again, from the first 2 years, on average have a home range of about 9.5 square kilometers. Other research in the Northwest Territories has shown that they can move up to, I believe it was 170 square kilometers, so quite substantially bigger than what we found.
Do you think that's related to how much food is available for them?
That could be one of the factors for sure. Yes, absolutely.
What else might it be?
Predation is always one of the issues that's being discussed. Obviously, the less risk for predation you have, the less you have to move and go out of your way to avoid predation. But given that we, at this point, don't have any predators radio collared, I can't really say if that's the case in the oil sands area. But really, food and predation risk are the two main factors influencing habitat size.
And what about season? Does the time of year affect how far they move?
almost all animals, I should say, probably move less in winter, which makes perfect sense. Nobody wants to be out in winter when it's cold and move a lot. There's not a lot food to be had anyway, so it's a trade-off between going out and finding that little bit of food that's there, or just waiting another day until it's a little bit warmer. So we've confirmed yet again, and that's no news, that moose in that area have smaller home ranges in winter than they have in summer.
And is there any indication of actually how they're doing on the landscape?
Yes and no. We have anecdotal indications. So we've actually flown some surveys on those radio collared moose as well, which means us flying in a helicopter to see how those moose are actually doing. And in the first year we flew the survey, out of the 30 moose that we had radio collared and saw on that survey, we actually saw very high calf ratios overall, and six pairs of twins, actually, which is a good indication for them doing fairly well, anecdotally anyways.
Any favorite stories?
Yes, I do have a favorite story. We have a cow-calf pair of moose that actually sat in front of one of our cameras for a grand total of, I believe, 4 weeks. And those two just bedded down there and got up every once in a while and had a bite to eat, turned around and bedded right back down. So again, anecdotally, maybe an indication for how good the habitat is and how they really don't have to move to find all they need.
And how many pictures do you have of that pair?
I believe it's about 5,000.
What's next with this project?
Going into 2012, we will continue the camera project. So in May, we'll be back out deploying cameras, hoping for drier and less fiery conditions. And the moose will be radio collared. The collars will continue to stay on the moose until December of 2012, and they'll come off, and that part of the project will be concluded. As far as the camera monitoring goes, it's set up to be a long-term monitoring project, so we can actually find changes over time. So I hope this will be going for a long time yet.
And once you've kind of tidied this all up and done your analysis, how is this going to help industry? How would they use this information?
Industry could make use of that information in several ways. First of all, I've just actually been asked after the talk if there's any way I would suggest creating reclamation habitat to make it better for moose. So there may be a little bit of that. We could, and we will, see what habitat moose prefer and then make suggestions as to what reclamation should look like. In addition, we can try, or we're trying to determine the importance of river valleys, and we could suggest to industry to stay away from rivers or build as close as they want, depending on how important river valleys are in the end.
Thank you very much, Holger.
You're welcome. Thank you.